Ladies and gentlemen.
Clear the studio. It's time for pro wrestling, dress wearing, metal singing, Aussie J-rocker, Lady Beard. Learn a new wrestling move, how to rock a Lolita dress, or just get the new trends from Japan. This is Lady Beard's Kawaii Connection on SBS Pop Asia.
Welcome, ladies and gentlemen, to Lady Beard's Kawaii Connection on SBS Pop Asia Radio. My goodness, how you doing, people? How you doing today, everybody? Well, is everybody genki? I hope everyone is incredibly genki and happy and well today. I'm knackered. Knackered. Absolutely knackered. I'm actually lying down right now. This is the first time I've ever done the show from a horizontal position. I am knackered. Do you know why I am knackered? I'm knackered because I've been walking around in the sunshine all day. Do you know why I've been walking around in the sunshine all day? It's because I've been sightseeing. Do you know why I've been sightseeing? Because I am not in my normal habitat. Right now, I am coming to you from France! I am in France, people! I'm in Paris! Oh, la la! Oh, oh, snails and frogs! I shouldn't do the accent. Last time I did an accent, I got in trouble with SBS. I shouldn't do the accent. But I'm in France, people! It's amazing! Wow, I tell you what. If you've never been to France, this place is beautiful. Holy macaroni. People go on all the time about France, how beautiful it is, how amazing and lovely it is. They're not lying. This whole time I was like, what you talking about? I had no idea how genuinely, amazingly beautiful this country is. Holy smokes, the place is gorgeous. I can't believe it. I've had beautiful weather ever since I stepped off the plane. I guess I'm here at the right time of year because it's summer up here. But just beautiful sunshine. The architecture everywhere is just gorgeous. The streets are beautiful. They're all like, not cobblestone, but pop-up brick thing. Wow, that was amazing use of the English language. Did you hear that? Pop-up brick thing. That's my description of a French street. Excuse me, monsieur, can you tell me how to get to Pop-Up Brick Thing Road? Oh, it's just down there. They're everywhere. Oh, yeah, you're right. Anyway, so I'm in France. It's amazing. I've been sightseeing all day, hence I'm knackered. And the reason I'm here is because I was here for Japan Expo, which just happened on the weekend. If you don't know what Japan Expo is, it is the biggest J convention in the world. The biggest one in the entire mother-loving world. That's right, people. You heard it here first. Unless you heard it somewhere else, because it's fairly common knowledge, so you probably did. So I was here for that, and I made an appearance of that, and I will tell you all about that a little bit later on in the show. Hook. But for the moment, let's get straight into some music. Now. Before we get into some music, SBS, this week at SBS, if you haven't been listening, there's been a lot of talk of hidden talents. What's your hidden talent? What do you think this person's hidden talent is? Andy True's hidden talent is... You can fill in the blank on that one. So I got asked this week by SBS, does Lady Beard have a hidden talent? And if so, can you tell us about him on the show? I said, all right, I'll tell you all about my hidden talent. I've got a hidden talent. I got a hidden talent that will blow your mind. And it's so hidden that you have no concept. Once you hear it, you'll kick yourself. You'll be like, oh. But for the minute, I bet none of you even have an inkling about what my hidden talent is. But hey, hey, what do you think Lady Beard's hidden talent is? Why don't you send me a tweet and let me know what you think? Hashtag SBS Pop Asia Lady Beard. Welcome back to SBS Pop Asia Radio, Lady Beard's Kawaii Connection. All right, people, Japan Expo. So this thing's ginormous, like ginormous, people. So last year's attendance was, I tried to find out what this year's attendance was, but it's not up yet because it was so recent. Last year's attendance on this event, 247,000 people. That is massive. That's the biggest J-Con outside Japan. That's bigger than San Diego Comic-Con. San Diego Comic-Con is only like, and the thing that I saw, it was only 160,000 or something. So it wipes the floor with San Diego Comic-Con, and that thing's massive too, right? So that gives you an idea of how big this thing is. I have been to a lot of Japan conventions around the world now, and I've been to a lot of them in China particularly. And in China, you know, we kind of have a rule of you times everything by 10. So like, for instance, if you have, you know, like if you have 10 million views on your video in China, that's like getting 1 million views on your video anywhere else, because they just have so many people that you just have to, you know, just attendance is massive everywhere. But Japan Expo just smashed anything that I've been to in China. It was so enormous, guys. We're like, we arrive and we're trying to find our way in because we got to go through this like artist back door thing. And thank goodness we had a car, because we are driving and driving and driving around this enormous licking venue. It was crazy. You might be wondering what I was actually doing there. I got brought over to Japan Expo because I won a cosplay competition. This was interesting. This company ran this cosplay competition, and you had to do a cosplay involving a pair of cat ears. So I did my cat ear cosplay, and you might remember some cat ear oriented photos that went up. cat ear oriented photos that went up a few months ago. There was a video as well, a cat ear video that I put on my pages and stuff, that won me the contest. So I got brought over to Japan Expo, and what ended up happening was, so we arrived, and originally I was just coming over to promote this company, and so we came over for that. But then, like, the night that we arrived, we had this dinner where we met a lot of the other people who were, you know, from Japan, who were here for the expo. And we met some guys from Fuji Television, which is a Japanese TV station. They said, hey, let's put you on stage with some of the artists that we've brought over. I said, oh, okay. So I went on stage with Hiraya Ryo, who is the girl who you just heard a second ago, and another group called Pink Babies. So, one by one, Hiraya Ryo, if you don't know her, she is awesome. I highly recommend you check her out. She is a genki little bundle of energy. Her stage show is so good. She's so genki. She bops around the place like crazy. She's very cute. She's fantastic. She really is a good time. So I recommend you check out her show. And the Pink Babies, this is interesting. So the producer of Pink Babies is this, oh, I don't know if he's the producer, the dude who runs Pink Babies is this songwriter from the 80s. So he wrote all the songs for this 80s idol group called the Pink Ladies. And that were very, very successful in the 80s. So he's a rich dude. And he owned all the songs, right? And so he started this project, Pink Babies, which is a bunch of, you know, young girls now, like idol age girls now, doing covers of all the Pink Ladies songs. So he owns the songs, so he can do that, right? So they're an interesting group. And I actually knew them already because I'd seen their show in Tokyo, and my manager Naoko has actually photographed them. So she did their photos for something, for, I don't know if it was for their CD or what it was for, but she photographed them as well. So she knew them and had worked with them already. So I ended up getting put on stage with both Ryo-chan and with the Pink Babies. So here's the details got worked out with very little notice, about 10 minutes before I went on stage is when I found out what I was actually doing. So that's normally I like to be very, very well prepared. I like to rehearse things down to the last dot, and I did not get the opportunity to do that this time. That's right. It was a lot of fun. It worked out great. So what happened was Ryo-chan goes on stage, and during like the last bit of her last song, I come on stage, and I'm kind of, you know, getting everyone fired up, and I need to dance the chorus with her, right? I had been shown the choreography for the chorus about 10 minutes before I went on stage. So I get on stage and I'm like, yeah, come on, Japan Expo, make some noise. And the guys in the front row just grab me and pull me into the audience. Like, the audience becomes this mosh pit. And I'm like, oh, unexpected. Didn't think that was going to happen. And then I see Ryo-chan and she starts dancing the chorus. And I'm like, we gotta get back on stage to do this dance I'm meant to do. So I had to fight my way back to the stage. I did my dance with Ryo. It was awesome. She was great. She loved the whole thing. She was so happy. We come up stage and she's like, that was awesome. Thanks, Ryo-chan. It was a lot of fun. The fans were great. She's been to Japan Expo like 3 times or something already. So she's got quite a few French fans. And they threw down for her. They were partying hard, bless them. They were fantastic, the French fans. So we get off after Ryo-chan's set. The Pink Babies go on straight away. So I'm like, okay, they got to focus on the other choreography that I learned 10 minutes ago. So in the space of, they had 2 songs and then the song that I came on for. So I had another 10 minutes or so to try and lock down my choreography. Then I go on stage with the Pink Babies, do the choreographed dance with the Pink Babies. Everything awesome. Take a photo with Ryo and the Pink Babies in the audience. We got the hell out of there. The French fans, guys, they were fantastic. They threw down. The Pink Babies were excellent, too. They did a great show. Ryo did a wonderful show, too. So that was a lot of fun. Doing the show at Japan Expo was really, really good fun. And then what happened was, for the first time in ages at a convention, I got to go out and walk the floor. So I got to go out onto the floor and take photos with the fans and whatnot, and like walk around and check out the booths and whatnot. So that has not happened for a really, really long time, because normally I have to stay backstage, and then I only kind of appear at my meet and greet station, and I don't really get an opportunity to walk around to check out anything else. I think the last time I got to walk the floor was in Beijing back in June last year or something, but that was not really, I didn't really get to see anything because we kind of got swamped. That's a different story from a different time though. The fun thing about being at Japan Expo, so normally when I'm at these conventions in, you know, China or Japan or anywhere around Asia, really, is, especially in China, I am the only Westerner for miles around every time, which means I'm just a little bit obvious. Even if I try and disguise myself or whatever, I can, you know, put on, like, I could, you know, put over cloaks over myself. I can wear masks and all this kind of stuff. No one else has a beard. No one else has blue eyes. I am just so obviously me. So, but the interesting thing about being at Japan Expo, of course, is it's in France, and there are Westerners flipping all over the place, since it is the West. The other thing is, there are cosplayers all over the place. So really, I blend into the crowd quite a lot. And it's funny because I'm walking around and people kind of see me and they just think I'm a normal kind of cosplayer. And then they kind of do a double take and I'll, you know, kind of keep on walking. And then they'll follow me for a while. And like, I can kind of hear them behind me going, is that the guy? Is that the Nippon Manju guy? Is that the guy? Should we ask him? Are we allowed to ask him? Should we ask him? Let's ask him. And they'll finally ask me, are you Ladybeard? And I'll go, yes! They'll go, oh, it's you! And then we'll have a photo. Good, clean fun. It was a great time. Thank you to everybody who came to Japan Expo and everybody who came and had a photo with me. Took a lot of photos. It was great fun. Great cosplayers. Wow, good standard of cosplay. I was very impressed. The French, they throw down. And it turns out that just the night before I was there, they had won some big football game as well. So everyone was excited about that. And that was my adventure at Japan Expo. When we tried to leave Japan Expo, we didn't have a car to leave. Well, we had to get out to where our car was. And we were walking and walking and walking and walking and walking. I cannot stress how enormous this thing is. If you ever get the chance to go, check it out. And for crying out loud, wear comfortable shoes. Holy moly. Oi, what do you reckon my hidden talent is? Let me know using the hashtag SBSPopAsia, Ladybeard. J-pop news. This is J-pop news for another week, people. Another exciting installment, bringing everything that you need to know about J-pop and the happenings thereof right now. Nicole Fujita, she is releasing the music video for her song Bye Bye, and the chorus version of this music video is now up on YouTube, so you can check out Nicole Fujita's song Bye Bye. Nicole's awesome. I've worked with her several times. She's a she's half Japanese and then quarter Russian, quarter something else. I can't remember properly, but she's a very sweet girl. I've worked with her. I've done TV with her several times. She's very lovely. So she's singing now. So I can't wait to hear their song. Okay, next up, Tokyo Idol Festival 2016. Tokyo Idol Festival is the biggest idol festival in the world. So if you imagine, like, the heavy metal equivalent would be like Wacken. If you imagine Wacken, except all idol performers, that's what Tokyo Idol Festival is. It's held in Odaiba and the surrounding area in Tokyo every year. And this year it is from August 5 to August 7. And this year, so last year, Lady Baby played on Tokyo Idol Festival. And last year's headliner was HKT48. This year's headliner is AKB48's Team 8. So that's very exciting. I'm sure everyone at Tokyo Idol Festival is going to wet their pants for AKB48 Team 8. And also, this year's Tokyo Idol Festival, the total number of performers is 220. 220 acts, which sets the record for the largest number of performers in a Tokyo Idol Festival thus far. So good job, TIFF 2016. All right. Okay, guys, Ishino Takyu. So listen up. So I don't have access to my normal source for J-pop news for this week. Hence, for this one, I actually don't have the original Japanese. All I've got is a strange Google translation into English of the article. So I'm just going to read you my Google translation thing of this article. And we can all decide together what it means. Okay. Ishino Takyu of the new album Lunatic. Songs to be released in August, 3 days. Can listen for a limited time from July 8. Tomorrow at the web media, full stop. Silly. Pretty sure that can mean anything you want it to mean. The bits I can ascertain is that Ishino Takyu has a new album called Lunatic, and the songs are being released over a 3-day period. You can hear from July 8. That's what I think. I think Silly is the name of the media company. It's, I'm sorry, that's all I've got on that. My apologies. Finally today, Nogizaka 46. Their new music video was recorded in Okinawa, and it's called Summer Barefoot, and it is to be released on the 27th of July. And that, my friends, is J-pop news for one more week. Ask Ladybeard. Actually, today, guys, I have a question for you. So it's actually not Ask Ladybeard, it's Ladybeard Asks. That's the jingle for the segment when I ask you a question. Ladybeard Asks. Okay, so let's get straight on with a question for this week. Okay, so here's the situation. So you have to travel from Sydney to Perth, okay? And you're doing it for the sake of charity. So it's like the 40-hour famine. Like, you get sponsors and whatnot, and you can get big, like, corporate sponsors and things if you want. You're going to make this journey from Sydney to Perth, and if you make it, then they will give money to a charity of your choice, to your favorite charity, gets a big payout. So you're making this journey from Sydney to Perth. You're going to make a ton of money for charity. It's a very admirable thing to do. Here is the catch. You cannot make the journey using a plane, a train, a car, a bus, a scooter or motorbike, or anything else that makes the journey easy. All right, it must be some challenging form of transportation that you take to get from Sydney to Perth. And the more challenging the mode of transportation you pick, the more money your charity will receive. So, for instance, if you rode a bike from Sydney to Perth, your favorite charity might receive $10,000. But if you roll, like if you lie down on the ground and roll from Sydney to Perth, your favorite charity might receive $100,000. So, my question to you this week, how would you make the journey from Sydney to Perth for charity? Guys, let me tell you about my France sightseeing adventure. Frankly, it was out of control. So today I went to the, I can't speak French, so I'm sure I'm pronouncing this wrongly. I went to the Chateau de Versailles. Went to Versailles. I went to this enormous mother flippin' house castle thing in Versailles, and it was out of control. So anyone who's been there knows exactly what I'm talking about. For those of you who don't, basically here's the story. Louis XIII, who was a French king like a billion years ago, made this hunting lodge. It was a little place where he'd go hunting. Right. His, I guess his son, Louis XIV, inherited it and said, I'm turning this place into a freaking extreme mansion castle thing. And he made, like, just the most ridiculously lavish house, castle, mansion, flippin' estate thing you could ever dream of in your most incredible dreams. It's just, it's this huge freaking building, and everything is just so amazingly beautifully decorated. I think in the end it became like a little village thing, right? Because like he was like the king and queen and that lived there, and then also he moved the French court there, and then like they said there was 10,000 servants living there. I'm like, what the smell? 10,000? You can't 10 flippin' thousand? That gives you an idea of the place. 10,000 people living there. That's, yeah, that's probably bigger than Cunnamulla, from what I know. I haven't been to Cunnamulla, but from what I'm told, it's not very big. Probably less than 10,000 people. And yeah, so, just beautifully lavish, amazing house. I can't even, there's like statues everywhere. Stuff made out of gold all over the place. There's this hall of mirrors. It's this corridor covered with all these mirrors. There's like 100-something mirrors total. And that's like, at the time, mirrors were considered a luxury. So having a hall with that many mirrors in it was like owning like a fleet of 100 Lamborghinis. Like it just showed off immense wealth. So the chateau itself is just out of control, and you stand in front of it and there's these gold gates and it's just so huge and immaculate and you're blown away by it, and you wait for about an hour to get in. You finally get in, and then it takes like 2 hours to walk through the whole thing, and there's like paintings on the roof, in like every room and all this kind of stuff. By the time you get out of the building, you're blown away. Like, you've had too much amazingness. You're kind of on amazingness overload. It's a funny thing, right? Because you see so much awesome stuff that you kind of get desensitized to how amazing it is. By the end of it, you're like, it's another room full of all this beautiful, like, beautiful sculptures and, like, busts of old king dudes and immaculate paintings and stuff. You kind of go on him like, oh, yeah. Like, you just see so much awesomeness, you can't deal with it. But then, so you get through the chateau, and then you get out into the garden, and the garden is just acres and acres and acres and acres and acres of ridiculous wealth in garden form. There's like 400 fountains, and they all have different statues of different stuff in them and whatnot. There's like hedges, like beautifully trimmed hedges, and all this carnage. There's lakes, all this kind of stuff, and it just keeps on going as far as the eye can see. It is just breathtaking. You walk around this thing. We walked so much today. Oh my lord, I think it was like 15,000 steps or something. Naoko had her pedometer thing on. It was 15,000 steps or something we ended up taking. We walked just for hours. Like, this thing began, it was like 6 hours of walking nonstop. It was incredible. Oy moly, son of a way. That's why I'm knackered. I walked 15,000 steps today. And after I finish this, I gotta go to the gym. I'm gonna be even more knackered. Guys, if you ever come to Paris, go to the Chateau de Versailles. Clearly, Lady Beard did not study French in high school. And prepare for something. It's out of control. Guys, it's time to go, sadly. But before we go, we've had several excellent suggestions for what Lady Beard's hidden talent might be. Thank you very much, everyone who wrote in. Thank you for your suggestions. No one quite hit the mark, though. No one got things exactly right. Now, once you hear this, it's going to become obvious. You'll say, oh, why didn't I think of that? It makes perfect sense once you've heard it. Until then, it seems like no one's been able to guess, so I suppose I'll have to tell you. Are you ready? Lady Beard's hidden talent is, I'm actually part werewolf. My great-great-great-great-great-great-grandfather was a werewolf who bred with a human woman, and obviously their offspring was a very hairy individual. And as the generations went on, the werewolf bloodstream remained within the gene. Bring us finally to Lady Beard now, and you can see from my ample covering of body hair the werewolf in me. So, Lady Beard's hidden talent actually is my ability, my amazingly unmatched, unbridled ability to howl at the moon. Thank you to everyone for your suggestions. However, howling at the moon is my hidden talent. Guys, we gotta go. Please tune in again next week. I look forward to seeing every single one of you, talking to you, laughing with you, smiling with you. Until then, my friends, everyone take care of yourselves. Stay genki, stay happy, stay kawaii. And don't forget, Mina-san, I stare. Jane.
And the door closes on Lady Beard's Kawaii Connection for another week. Download the free Pop Asia app and relive the glory on podcast now. And tune in next week for another exciting episode only on SBS Pop Asia.